Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
You're listening to Tenser and Gross on 630 CHED, Edmonton's breaking news and conversation station.
In other words, baby, kiss me.
Couple of fingers of scotch and we can get going with this segment, I think, hey?
With song and let me sing.
I feel like we should be smoking, too. Feels like there should be cigarettes and scotch before we could start going.
All I worship and adore.
So we're going to talk a little space in this segment.
In other words,
Dr. Ian Mann joins us from University of Alberta in the Department of Physics. Dr. Mann, a pleasure to have you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning.
And good morning to you, too. I was saying earlier, I was reading down what the project is and then reading a little bit on your background. Is, and I don't mean this flippantly at all, are you a rocket scientist?
Technically, no.
Yeah, but kind of.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm, you know, a space scientist, you might say, which is kind of close. We certainly rely on rocket technology to complete our research in space. But,
close enough for me.
People crack that joke all the time, though. We have a summer camp here at the university, and the tagline that we've used is, you know, yes, it is rocket science. So that kind of amuses the kids, right? So.
But I mean, this is like this is really genius level stuff. I mean, this, you know, I can remember in, I don't know if it's junior high or high school, but we built those little model kits and then shot the thing into the sky. I don't even know if mine worked. If it did, maybe it made it like 50 feet or something. Like, it's just sort of, you shoot it up just a little bit. This is like that, except probably nothing like that. It goes like into space.
Right. I mean, people think that access to space is, you know, purely the realm of, you know, big space agencies like NASA, billion-dollar missions, and historically that's, of course, been the case. But, you know, access to space is really changing very, very significantly, to the extent now that, you know, the University of Alberta is taking one small step, you might say, for the participants, but one giant leap for the province by building our first satellite and having the opportunity to launch it on a Cyclone 4 rocket from Brazil at the end of 2015, early 2016, and literally having our own satellite that's been built, designed, and is going to be operated by students right here at the University of Alberta from the province of Alberta, a piece of high-technology space hardware that's developed here in the province.
So has Alberta ever launched? We've never launched a satellite before, right? We don't currently, there's no Alberta satellite that was built or operated anywhere. That doesn't exist in space right now.
So interestingly, I mean, Alberta actually has quite a long history of space research excellence, involvement with a number of, you know, international partners like NASA, Canadian Space Agency, and others. And so there is, has been quite significant involvement in a number of important missions that are operating, including, you know, the Phoenix mission that went to Mars. But in terms of actually building a satellite, putting it all together and making the whole thing here in the province, this is a first. You know, no one in industry has done this. Nobody in the province has done it. And so University of Alberta is taking the first step in that regard, and I think it's, you know, really an unbelievable opportunity for our students to literally be involved in putting something up into space and operating it. And we see it as really, you know, the first step in perhaps a longer space history in the province. You know, we think our students are going to be involved in the new space industry. There's going to be space tourists and more commercial activity in space, more and more space being used, you know, to drive services for Albertans and Canadians, and to make a big impact economically in the province. And university wants to be part of facilitating that process, you know, and really being part of this kind of brave new world, if you will.
That's a really interesting, and I hadn't thought of it, actually. I hadn't thought about it in sort of the practical future implications of this. And you're right, the space tourism, it seems like it's just right at the verge of starting and becoming, I don't know if mainstream yet, it's still cost prohibitive for most people, but
right,
the technology is there, and it seems as though, you know, launching a satellite into space is also cost prohibitive for most people, but not crazy cost prohibitive. So,
and the costs are going to come down, and that's what's happening, is the technology is being made smaller, you know, the costs are coming down. I mean, part of the push now on the this project is we're asking, you know, Albertans and Canadians and people in general to join us on this voyage of discovery and to actually contribute to the launch costs. We need $60,000 to launch this into space, which is incredibly cheap. Like, really incredibly cheap, you know. People think that it's going to cost millions of dollars to put these things in space. We have a launch fee of 60,000 with a partnership with European colleagues. And so we're asking people to help us with making this, you know, space exploration here in the province a reality. And for a $100 donation, which is, you know, you get a tax receipt, so it's a tax-efficient donation to this exciting project. We're saying that we'll engrave your name onto a small chip, and we'll put it on the satellite, and we will literally take you, well, okay, your name, to space for $100. And the satellite will operate for about 3 months. We're putting it into a low altitude, so it doesn't crash into the International Space Station, for example, and then it'll harmlessly burn up into the atmosphere after about 3 months. So the molecules that are kind of carrying your name are also going to end up, circling around at the edge of space for, I won't say forever, but for a really long time.
That's interesting stuff. So, and again, the website to go to is ualberta.useed.net, ualberta.useed.net, and you can find it right on there. And it's a crowdfunding type of thing, and I think people are familiar with that concept by now, and you can go and you can donate. So when you launch this thing up there and you put a satellite into space, obviously part of the project is building it and getting it there.
Absolutely.
Once it's there, what does it transmit back down to you? Like, then at that point, what are you able to sort of do with it for the time that it's there?
So we're going after space weather. So it's an experimental satellite. It's Alberta's first satellite, and it's targeting understanding space weather. And it's actually a fascinating project. We're going to launch 50 of these vehicles on the same launch vehicle, which has never ever been done before. And you can think about kind of launching, you know, 50 space weather stations, if you want to think about it that way, in the same way that we have weather stations distributed, you know, around Canada and around the globe. We understand the things that drive harsh hurricanes and things like that, but the space weather, which can knock out satellites and damage power grids on the ground, we don't really fully understand what causes the worst event. So we want to do that discovery, and that's what these measurements are going to contribute. Then eventually we'll have a better idea of, you know, how bad can it get, and make sure that we can withstand the battering from the worst kinds of space weather. And, you know, as an aside, a study has suggested that it's a $2 trillion risk to our infrastructure from a big space storm. So it's serious business.
Can you go into that a little bit for me? Because we're sort of, that it's almost glossed over, and I'll just speak for myself. I don't really understand. A $2 trillion damage from a big space storm.
Right.
What is a big space storm, and then what exactly would happen up there that would, you know, what would happen down here or up there that would result in $2 trillion worth of damage?
So, I mean, the brief story is we know that there are explosions on the sun. They hurtle out through interplanetary space. You know, they cross the space about 2 million miles an hour, and after a couple of days they smash into anything that's in the way, and it causes a big disturbance, generation of very fast traveling particles, radiation, and very strong electrical currents that flow in space. And both of those things are very nasty. The radiation can damage satellites, which are really part of our financial, communication, security infrastructure, and the currents themselves act a bit like a giant transformer. They can drive other currents in conductors that are available, and that's typically big power networks. And we know examples where power networks have fallen over, for example, in 1989 in Quebec as a result of these events. But the real issue is that we've only seen, you know, 50 years worth of these events, which is a very short period of time since the beginning of the space race. So we don't really even know how bad it can get. And that's really the issue is, if there's a really big space storm, this $2 trillion impact is thought to be from a collapse of the power grids, an inability to repair it quickly, and then the consequent, horrible impacts of that can happen when, you know, you're in lack of power in hospitals and in, you know, standard infrastructure services, not to mention financial markets and other economic activities. So it's really, the major impact potentially is a collapse of the grid.
Hmm. I'm going to get back to the satellite here in just a second, but you seen the movie Gravity?
Yes.
I watched it the other night, and I didn't get much out of it. I didn't think the story was great. But, like, as a space guy, was that Did you watch it? Was it believable to you? Like, were you able to watch that, or did you
have to suspend all this belief? You know, the cinematics is pretty fantastic, and I enjoyed it. I just kind of, you know, sat back and enjoyed the spectacle, you know what I mean, in terms of the special effects. But, you know, the premise of the story is the prevalence of space junk that collides into more space junk and eventually makes space unusable for anybody. And now that's a real threat, because more and more space junk is being dumped up there. I'm actually involved in a United Nations effort that's looking at trying to make sure that the kind of gravity scenario doesn't take place in reality. We have to take care of space. We can't leave it as a junkyard up there. You know, a big space storm might knock out some satellites, create some more space junk, and the thing kind of accelerates in the way that kind of, you know, gravity proposes. So we do actually have to take, you know, strong efforts to protect the long-term sustainability and usability of space. Otherwise, what we rely on now won't be possible in the future. And that's also a really, really important area of research right now.
Very interesting stuff. So this satellite now, when are you hoping to launch it? You're raising money, and we gave the website out.
Right.
When do you need the money by? Like, when's the launch date?
So, you know, as part of the research and design work that we've already done, I mean, the students participate in this international project. So it's really cool. They go through all of the design reviews as if they're flying. Well, they are flying a real space mission. So we have 3 months to secure our launch deposit, which is $15,000. It's 25% of the 60, and then 1 year to raise the remainder. And that's kind of our buy-in fee to become part of this, you know, fantastic European project. And then the vehicle is being built in parallel. You know, we'll start the build phase in the fall, and then we'll have to deliver the spacecraft to be integrated into the launcher. It'll be shipped to Brazil, and then there'll be a lot of tent hooks and excitement as we wait for the thing to launch and actually get into orbit. So, you know, there's a number of steps along the way, but it's an unbelievably exciting project.
It sure is. I'll tell you, it's extremely cool. It's very cool. We're going to follow up on this, so we'll keep up to speed on it, and we'll talk to you a couple of steps down the line on this thing.
I'd be happy to do so.
Thanks very much for the time this morning, Doctor.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Ian Mann from the Physics Department at the University of Alberta. God, that's cool. That's like that's the junior high little rocket launcher thing. Is it elementary? I think it was junior high, where you launch a little rocket up however far it goes. Not far at all. So they're shooting a satellite into space. That's neat stuff. Again, if you want to donate, it's ualberta.useed.net.